So the epistle for the fourth Sunday in Advent is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day, but neither do I judge my own self. For I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Iturea in the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Please be seated. And the crooked shall be made straight. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend brothers, dear faithful, today we have reached then the last Sunday of Advent before the great feast of Christmas. So truly that we know that our Lord is nigh, that our Lord is near to us. Our Lord is coming. And so we know that, so we anxiously await then his coming. But as we have taken these Sundays to consider and prepare for then this great feast. And so definitely we can ask the question, are we prepared? Have we prepared enough? Or has it gone by too quickly? In the gradual of the Mass, it tells us, it asks our Lord to come, O Lord, and do not delay. It goes on to talk about, forgive the sins of thy people Israel. So in some ways, it helps us to understand. To understand that, yes, we can be prepared, but also, there is the recognition and the understanding that there is work that we must try to do. There is continual work that we have to try to purify ourselves in order to be prepared for our Lord. So being ready, but yet not quite ready. And granted, a lot of it relies upon the grace of Almighty God. The grace that comes into our soul. And that is why then we have been trying to prepare this whole time period to receive that grace. Because God will give to us many graces at this time period. God will offer to us much. But it depends on our soul. It depends on how ready we are to how many graces we do receive. You know, are we open to these graces? And so throughout, I've mentioned to you, one of the key figures of this time period is St. John the Baptist. And we've seen throughout these Sundays of how the church mentions St. John the Baptist, the mission that he had, the holiness of life that consisted of St. John the Baptist, that he was this angel before, sent before the people, before their face. And he was sent to prepare them. By his life, yes. But also by his preaching. Of what he had to say. And so that is where when we understand and talking about the crooked made straight. So it's in reference to the souls that are off on the wrong path. These souls that are going in a crooked manner. And so St. John came to preach. And just as we say with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord came for the sick. He came for the sick in order to try to help them, to cure them. Because we say that our Lord was a physician of souls. And so St. John the Baptist, similarly, when he came to try to preach and to prepare the people, he was trying to get across to the people, especially those that were going on the wrong path. And that is why he said to them, do penance because the kingdom of God is at hand. Prepare now because God comes. Our Lord Jesus Christ will come. The Messiah will come. So therefore you must be prepared. And so he was speaking specifically to then those people that were off on this crooked path. But that is why then St. John the Baptist, he refers to himself as this voice crying out in the wilderness. As one voice alone that cries out. And I mentioned to you before that it is as we go out into the wilderness or into a forest, whatever. If crying out, there is no one there to hear you. There is no one there to hear what you have to say, whether you're calling for help, whether you're just singing, whatever it may be. No one will hear that. Because those are the souls that they do not want to hear. I mean, going back to one of the parables of our Lord, and our Lord talks about those that have ears to hear, let them hear. But that also leads to understand that those that do not want to hear will not hear. They will not pay attention. They will not listen. They will not heed then the voice that is crying out to them. Whether it is St. John the Baptist, whether it is our Lord, whether we see in the gospel accounts, Sunday after Sunday, that it comes to us, it hits us in the face of what the message of God is all about. And in some ways, we can say with Christmas as it begins the liturgical year for us, you know, Advent, Christmas, the whole message of Advent was one of preparation. But if you look at it and understand it correctly, that is for our whole lives. To always be prepared. To be prepared because we do not know the day nor the hour. And so yes, Advent harps on that point. It instructs us to try to be prepared because we are anticipating then the coming of our Lord, the Messiah that is to come. But as I say to you, that it is something that we must try to look at in terms of our souls in general. We must be prepared. We must be prepared for our Lord at all times. Because at all times, God gives us graces. God offers these graces to our souls, and it's up to us whether we accept that or not, or if we turn a deaf ear to it. Again, going back to the fact of those that have ears, let them hear. Those that want to accept the word of God, they will hear it. Those that wanted to accept St. John the Baptist, they listened to him. They were disciples of him, so they were listening to the message. And when he told them specifically, "Behold the Lamb of God," some of the disciples, they went to follow our Lord. And they became then followers of the Messiah. That is because they were open to this voice that was calling out. And so that is what I'd like you to try to then examine on these last few days that we have. How much have you heeded the voice of God? How much have you listened then to this voice crying out in the wilderness? Yes, St. John the Baptist at that one time, he was this voice. But his message is something that continues throughout our lives. You think about what St. John the Baptist said. You think about what St. John the Baptist did. And it is very clear. He was trying to go out and to help the people to prepare their souls. And in a way that is the mission of every priest, to preach and to go out and to prepare the people for the graces that God would give to them. And so at that point, it becomes again, are we prepared? Do we heed this voice that talks to us? Or does it fall on deaf ears? Do we just go Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday and nothing happens for us? Nothing changes in our lives. No graces are added to us. That is what it is meant to be, that we continue and we grow in grace. Just as it says when our Lord, if you remember when our Lord taught in the temple at 12, when he taught the doctors, it said that he grew in wisdom and in grace. He was giving to us an illustration of showing to us this is what our life is meant to be like. He was God. And he had the fullness of grace. He had the fullness of wisdom because he was Almighty God. But again, our Lord tries to give to us an example. He tries to show to us of how then we need to live our lives, apply these things that we listen to, that we hear, that we learn. And so as I say, at this point it becomes to us, yes, we have only a week left. We have a week left before the great feast of Christmas. We've had 4 weeks to prepare for it. So now at this point I think it is good for us to examine. To make an examination of conscience and see, have we listened to the voice of God? Have we heeded then this voice? God speaks to us in different ways. The spiritual authors will go through and say that this voice of crying out in the wilderness, you know, you can examine it, you can look at it in 4 different manners. And seeing finally how people will heed it and accept it. And as I say, all souls are in different stages in their lives. All of us will heed it at different points in our life. But to try to understand and try to think and see with the different voices that come to us, at what point have we heeded it, or unfortunately, have we not even heeded it? Again, going to the point, have we turned a deaf ear to this voice of God? And so we can say this first voice, God tries to give to, we can say, sinners. He tries to treat them kindly, tries to bring them in, granting them favors to try to convert them, bring them over. I mean, it's something that on a practical level, we see that you want to try to help people. I mean, even in a way as a priest, even here in confessions, if you have someone that has been away from the sacraments for a long time, and maybe because of their sins, they warrant a heavy penance. But because you know that they're just coming back at this point, you don't want to, in a sense, slam them with a heavy penance that they may just stop. So the priest, he is able to give them a smaller penance as a favor to them, to try to help them, to bring them along slowly. And granted, the priest will then have the obligation to do the rest of the penance himself. But it's because we are trying to bring them along, to help them, guide them back. And so God does the same thing for souls. When he sees souls that are maybe wayward, these crooked souls that are off, that God would try to bring them back, granting them favors, granting them consolations, doing these things in order to try to help them. And so the soul very clearly sees that they have this benefactor, this one that is looking out for their soul. And so that is this first voice. We can say the voice of favors that are granted to a soul to help them, to bring them along. And so that may be the voice that brings a soul back. But then it continues. That maybe it wasn't strong enough for them to heed it and to continue to live it. And so a second voice becomes then a voice of preaching. And so God will bring this voice to the ears of the sinner to guide them further along. And so granted, maybe the favors is what got them in the door. And now from that, this voice of preaching will help them to live the life that they're supposed to. it will bring them further into then this life of grace. And so God utilizes then preaching, whether it's through the written word, through, you know, things that you read, spiritual reading, the gospels, or through preaching itself, conferences, retreats, missions, Sunday sermons, any of these things that can possibly then draw a soul in further, bringing them in further into God's grace. And so that will help them to see that true conversion that they must have. That yes, maybe the favor has got them in the door, as I say, but they still kind of live their life. They still live the life that is maybe not pleasing to Almighty God. And so then they hear the preaching. They listen, they see it repeated and repeated and repeated, and they finally heed it. And so then we can say this voice of preaching is the second voice that brings them further along the path of salvation, bringing them along. But granted, even with that, people can be still in a deep sleep. Not that I'm saying any of you are sleeping right now during my preaching, but I've seen it before. Maybe not here. I have seen it. Even with my loud voice, people can still sleep. They must either are insomniacs until they come to church, and then they're fine. I always thought as I got like louder that it would like stir them. But then the snoring kind of gives it away that obviously that didn't work. But so then even at that point, there are still souls that after getting in the door, after hearing it, they hear it, they hear it, they hear it, but they don't heed it. They don't listen. And so they are still in a deep sleep. And so at this point, God utilizes the voice of punishment. Maybe that's familiar for some of the students. They hear that voice at school occasionally or at home. But then that voice comes to them. And it is meant to awaken them, to awaken them out of their sleep. And so at this point, then the souls, these sinners, will recognize the sins that they have. We can say something clicks for them. By hearing this voice of punishment, they do recognize their sins, and at that point they convert. And it is a conversion for them. They convert and understand, okay, I've committed these sins, I need to get out of them. They make resolutions. But then what? Then even after they have made some resolutions, maybe for all of us it's familiar, we make resolutions on retreat. And then by the time a month comes after our retreat, we kind of remember what our resolutions were. Or we realize that they were just too high for us, that we can't even follow them. And so we don't keep our resolutions. And so since not keeping our resolutions, then there is not a true repentance. And so again, they fall. Even after hearing the voice of punishment and understanding what will happen to their soul if they stay in that state, they're back to sleeping. They're back to, we can say, almost to square one. Because they have gotten so far. They've gotten in the door. They started making progress. They made resolutions to realize what they have to try to overcome. And then being weak, they fall back. Sometimes by falling backward, we fall so far back that yes, it is hard for them to come back. So they may not wake up from their sins at all. But there is one final voice. There is one final voice that Almighty God utilizes. And this is at the point of where, yes, the soul has gone through those three voices, those three steps, and there's seemingly to be no hope for them. And so God will try then the fourth voice. It is the most powerful voice, the most piercing voice, we can say, because it goes directly to the soul. And it is this voice that comes interiorly to them. They receive the graces of a conversion. So the interior grace that comes to their souls for them to finally convert. And as I say, it is the most piercing voice. It's the loudest voice you can say that they hear. And so it is an understanding. Because they have turned a deaf ear to the first three voices, this is the last resort that God will use for them. The spiritual authors refer to it as the voice of thunder. Thunder because it shakes the soul. It shakes them inwardly. It is then this piercing voice that goes to the heart to them. And as I say, it is God's, we can say, his final way of trying to reach this soul. St. Bernard of Clairvaux says that this is the penetrating voice that draws the soul toward God. It draws them to him. And we've seen that throughout history. We've seen that in the history of the church. St. Paul being one of the greatest examples of that. And you see St. Paul having to convert. Because St. Paul, he was persecuting the church. And then he was knocked off his horse. He was knocked off his horse in order for him to wake up. And it's interesting to see how God blinded him at that point. Blinded him with his eyes. But it was a blindness to recognize what he had been doing. And that's why God asked him, "Why do you persecute me?" And maybe St. Paul didn't realize it at the moment, thought he was doing what was good. But at that point, the resounding voice came to him to explain very clearly, "You are on the wrong path. And this is the path that I want from you." And so that voice came to him. And another example we can see is St. Mary Magdalene. She was clearly on the wrong path until at one point she recognized the grace of God. And I mentioned that in a sermon that was close to her feast day. That at one moment she accepted the grace of God and she turned completely. To the fact that our Lord said that all your sins are forgiven because you have loved much. I mean, think about that. Of how living a life that was completely away from God's grace. And then at one moment, that voice came to her, interiorly, she accepted it, and then she became a great saint. That is how God works in souls. Because very clearly, obviously, St. Mary Magdalene did not listen to voice 1, 2, or 3. It was only until this voice of thunder, this piercing voice came to her, that she finally heard it. And so as I say, for us to reflect, what voice have we heard? What voices have we ignored? You know, where are we on this? You know, where is our soul in terms of, say, these voices? We have 7 days to prepare for the great feast of Christmas. We have 7 days of what we spent 4 months in doing. 4 months, 4 weeks. Maybe to some of you it felt like 4 months, I don't know. Almost seems like 4 days in some ways. Goes by so quickly. But we have spent this time to try to prepare for Almighty God coming into our soul. And how sad if souls haven't even done anything to welcome him. They haven't changed anything. They haven't done anything. Same old, same old. When Holy Communion time comes on Christmas, won't move them, won't change them. How sad that is. The church has given us four weeks to help us. And then we see that some souls have listened to voice one, two, three, possibly even four. And it hasn't shaken them, hasn't done anything to them. Because then at that point, it's the question of possibly what will it take? I mean, maybe God hasn't used voice number four on them yet. Maybe that's coming. The voice of thunder. The piercing voice that will come, God willing, hopefully, in these last 7 days, to wake them up, slap them around, wake them up, slap them around, figuratively speaking. Maybe sometimes people need... So, still, the voice of thunder will come. And so, as I say, it is a good reflection now. We've gone through almost these 4 weeks. Have we done anything to change us? Have we tried to change? Or have I said, have we just gone through Advent as any other really time period? That it doesn't make a difference for us. It doesn't change us one bit. And on Christmas, it'll be just like every other Sunday. We will just stay in our pew the whole time. How sad that is. Because at that point, what are you waiting for? I mean, are you waiting to be knocked off your horse, knocked out of your car? I mean, what truly are you waiting for? And so St. John had been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching, and some didn't heed him. And that is why he would say what he did. I am that one voice that is crying out in the wilderness. Crying out, and some are completely deaf to what I have to say. Even when he's right in front of them. And so that is why he said, prepare the way. Straighten up your soul. Make straight the path that leads to Almighty God. That is the path that we must travel. And so yes, we can say along with the liturgy, we can sing the Mass, we can sing along with it, we can read the Missal of saying, come and do not delay. But then when our Lord comes, he finds, well, they don't even want me. So why do they even say that? Why do they give me these empty words of just saying, oh, come and delay not. This is Advent. We're preparing for our Lord. We put up our tree. We put up all our decorations. We're doing all these things and then nothing. That's actually even worse. Because you act like you care. You act like you're preparing for our Lord. You act like you're doing all these things. And then when it comes for our Lord to come into your soul, you do nothing. You don't even have a place for him in your soul. That's like inviting someone, you know, a family member over to your house. You clean your house, you prepare everything and different things, and then you lock the door. And then when they come up and knock on the door, you don't let them in. And then you just basically tell them, sorry, there's no room for you. Go away. It's like, well, what'd you invite me for? And that's what we're saying to our Lord, basically. Because if we read along with the liturgy, we have been preparing this whole time for our Lord to come and delay not. Begging our Lord to come, asking our Lord to come. You know, tarry not, our Lord is nigh. And then what? We do nothing to prepare for him. Absolutely nothing. So God forbid we're in that state. But God help us if we are, because we have time. We have these last 7 days to do something about that. God has given us that opportunity. And as I say, that is why in this Mass itself, the spiritual authors have talked about and said, you have a chance. You have a chance to listen to the voice of God. Will you? Because otherwise we're living our faith in vain. It means nothing to God. Absolutely nothing. In some ways, we make a mockery then of what God has tried to do for our souls. And so examine, take these last 7 days to truly examine your soul and to see what voice we're listening to, if we're listening to a voice. Pray. Pray and take the time now. If you've wasted almost these 4 weeks, there is still hope. It is never hopeless with Almighty God. But if you've done nothing this time period, what will change you? And that is why God has to go to this piercing voice, this voice of thunder, in order to wake you up. But I've even seen sometimes that even loud, booming voices can't even awake people. Hopefully that's not the state of your soul. Hopefully not. But if that is where we are, it should be reversed to us. Tarry not. Do something about it. Change your ways. Make straight the path now, so that when our Lord does come, that he finds a proper abode. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.